plot for a random beheading.
People weren't just preparing an attack, but had the intention to mount one.
Scotland's independence vote.
Our opportunity of a lifetime, and we must seize it.
Southwest flooding.
It completely cut off this community.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. It's a long way from Iraq and Syria, but Australia, a key American ally, appears to be in the crosshairs of ISIS terrorists.
The violence was to be perpetrated on a member of the public on the streets.
Police rounded up 15 people in the Sydney area. CBS's Steve Dorsey is in Brisbane.
Australian authorities say the alleged planned attack was meant to be a public execution of a random person. Reports say terrorists linked to the Islamic State were planning a beheading and then to post the violent killing online. The police haven't revealed many specific details about the intelligence they gathered on what was allegedly planned.
An emerging threat from Syria, where ISIS is a factor, are terrorists loyal to Al-Qaeda, making a new kind of bomb. CBS's Peter Mayer joins us now with more.
And Steve, some terror experts consider this group called Khorasan to be more dangerous than ISIS. Unlike ISIS, it's not fighting for turf. It wants to blow up planes. Reporting on this story, CBS's Bob Orr asked CIA Director John Brennan about the group's links to Al-Qaeda master bomb builder Ibrahim al-Aziri.
Why have we not been able to find and eliminate the bomb maker?
We are doing what we can, and so individuals such as Mr. Aziri, their time will come.
Officials see no immediate credible danger from the Syrian-based group, but they're on the alert. President Obama's anti-terror strategy will be on the line when the Senate votes on a House-passed measure to train and arm the Syrian opposition forces the administration hopes will take on ISIS. Pam Coulter has more on the congressional debate.
California Republican Tom McClintock supports the president's plan for targeted airstrikes to stop the advance of ISIL and protect American interests.
Where we can turn the tide of battle in these engagements, we must.
But there is some opposition. In addition to arming moderate Syrian rebels, West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin.
Authorizing military support for Syrian rebels will inextricably draw us into a civil war that we have no way to end.
Some lawmakers say Mideast nations should be cleaning up their own neighborhood. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The manhunt goes on in the woods of northeastern Pennsylvania for a heavily armed survivalist, a 31-year-old man suspected in the deadly ambush on police last week. CBS's Don Daler is covering.
They are heavily armed. They're wearing camouflage and body armor. And the area they're looking through is vast. It includes very rural countryside and about 83,000 acres of a state park.
A funeral will be held today for the state trooper killed in last week's attack. An historic independence referendum is underway in Scotland, with voters deciding whether or not to break from the United Kingdom. We're live in London with CBS's Vicky Barker.
Sound familiar? A campaign that's overcome the odds to pull even with its rivals. Opinion polls show Scottish voters now equally split on ending 3 centuries of union with Britain.
This is our chance. We're making history.
I'm very, very scared that we throw away the UK.
Scottish nationalist leader Alex Salmond confident of victory.
This is the greatest democratic experience in the history of Scotland.
But bagpipes introducing former Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Brown's way of telling his fellow Scots, Scotland does not belong to the pro-independence forces alone.
Scotland belongs to all of us.
The UK's fate likely won't be known until the last vote is counted early tomorrow. Steve?
Well, here at home, flood watches are up in parts of the Southwest. CBS's Carter Evans is in Nogales, Arizona.
Remnants of Tropical Storm Odile were strong enough to cause flash flooding and send water raging down city streets, not equipped to handle the sudden downpour. Further east in the Texas desert, nearly 3 inches of rain drenched El Paso and prompted flash flood warnings. Cars were submerged by the torrential downpour.
In California, a raging wildfire now threatens 2,000 homes east of Sacramento. Jenny Young's is one of them.
We're leaving the only place I've ever felt home in my life, so I'm praying to God everybody's going to be safe, but selfishly, I don't want our house to burn either.
The fire has burned 44 square miles in the town of Weed to the north. Officials now say 110 homes were destroyed by this week's wildfire. Add another player to the NFL's roster of bad off-the-field behavior. Here's CBS's Heather Bosch.
Arizona Cardinal Jonathan Dwyer's been booked on assault charges. Phoenix police say Dwyer attacked his wife in July.
After she was physically assaulted, he took a shoe and threw it at their 18-month-old child.
The Cardinals have deactivated Dwyer. The Carolina Panthers took Greg Hardy off their active roster while he appeals a domestic violence conviction. CBSSports.com's Greg Doyle says,
sadly, money talks, and that's about the only language the NFL speaks anymore.
He says it took outrage from the public and sponsors to push the Minnesota Vikings to bench Adrian Peterson and the Baltimore Ravens to cut ties with Ray Rice.
There's a feel-good tale about two former NFL players. Here's CBS's Barry Bagnano.
It's a remarkable story of two brothers who were part of a bitter rivalry on the field but needed each other off of it. Here at the University of Maryland Medical Center, ex-Baltimore Raven Maake Kemoeatu donated a kidney so his brother Chris, a former Pittsburgh Steeler, could live.
I was a 99% match.
Both weigh well over 300 pounds. The organ surgeon, Stephen Bartlett,
was about 1.5 times bigger than any other kidney I've ever put in.
During preparations, a dangerous heart blockage was found in Chris.
First, I'm scared of needles.
But he really feared facing two life-threatening conditions at once. Maake coached him.
It's fourth and long right now. You know, we got to go deep.
Now they sit together, smiling, knowing there truly is life after football.
I love you, man.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Baltimore.
North of the border, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford is now in a cancer fight. The abdominal tumor that was found last week by doctors is a rare and aggressive malignancy. Ford, who struggled with drugs and alcohol, will undergo chemotherapy. Doctors are optimistic about his chances for recovery. 46 years ago, New York City lawyer Ivan Schneider's 1967 Jaguar XKE convertible disappeared from right in front of his apartment building, stolen. Remarkably, the car is still around. It was found on a cargo ship headed for Europe.
Never in anybody's lifetime did I think I would see that car. It's a miracle.
Schneider, who's 82 now, says he's owned a lot of fancy cars, but that was his favorite. He plans to fix it up and drive it. Bullying is not just a problem young people face at school. CBS News correspondent Jim Shenevy.
A new report on bullying at work.
28% of workers reported that they have felt bullied at work. Nearly one in five of these workers left their jobs because of it. So some serious repercussions there.
Career Builders Jennifer Grass.
Bullying can impact employee morale, and it will go beyond that individual who's experiencing it, because typically if one person's experiencing it in the workplace, chances are there's others that are as well.
Women were more likely to be bullied at work than men. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
A British nurse who recovered from Ebola flew to the United States to donate blood to an American fighting the disease. That patient, one of four Americans who got the often deadly virus, has not been identified. Two, of course, have recovered. One of them gave blood to a patient being treated in Omaha. Experts believe the antibodies in the blood of survivors can help Ebola patients. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kaith in CBS News.